You know how it is when I get to the pulpit. It's like, ah. Well, you know what? You remember how I talked to you all about our mission trip to India? And then I said how many times that we were challenged and things. Well, this morning for just 2 or 3 minutes, I want to talk to you again about our journey. Our journey then took us, when we came back from India, it took us to Honduras. And in Honduras, we landed at the airport, and we had to walk to the missionary's house. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was scared to death. And I kept looking around for people who might come out and kill me or attack me. And anyway, we got to his house, and then we went to the hotel, and we had tools with us because we were doing work. And I put a hammer in my suitcase because I thought, if anybody tries to break in my room, at least I have a hammer. Now you're laughing, but you know, it's tough. I'm talking about tough stuff, because inside your heart's going, and you're really frightened. But I made it through that time, and we did a lot of work over there. We built a radio station, because that's when we were into the work part instead of the ministry part. We did minister, but we were only allowed to minister and give a testimony. But would you believe it, within a year, we were back again to Honduras. And in that time, I knew that I would be so frightened that when we got to, now think of this in your mind, I knew I would be so frightened that our room had a noisy air conditioner, but it had no hot water for a shower. So my husband said, well, we can gas for them to switch our room. And I said, no, I don't think we ought to switch our room, because that air conditioner keeps me safe. I'm thinking, who knows? You know, that was my thinking. The air conditioner was so loud that it was drowning out the busted bottles that we were hearing outside of our room, because people were drinking, they were throwing the bottles, and they were busting them on the streets. And, you know, that air conditioner kept me from, that I could sleep at night. So that was our second trip to Honduras. Now, every time we went someplace, something happened. So once a month, Lord willing, when I preach, you will hear another episode of the Nancy Saga. Okay? Well, let's get into the word this morning. I want you to stand again, please. So I want you to raise your hands, and we want to praise the Lord this morning. Come on, let's praise Him for a moment this morning. He's a promise keeper. We bless you, Lord. He's a miracle worker. Did He open doors for you that you thought were shut? Come on, praise Him, for He is worthy. Somebody in here is here after all that you've been through. You're still here. Give Him a shout of praise. You are still alive. We bless you, Lord. You're a miracle worker. You're a May Waker. You're a promise keeper. You keep all your promises, and you're grateful. And we're blessed. We praise you today. We bless you today. We honor you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now for miracles. I just declare over this room right now that miraculous breakthroughs are coming. Divine reversals are coming. Supernatural turnarounds. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father. You are so good, and I love the Lord. How about all of you? We are going to declare victory in this house today, because God is faithful. We are in the right place this morning with God's people. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's good to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's good to give Him thanks. We are here. We're not hiding in a cave. We're not scared. We're not in fear. We're here this morning. So if you're here and you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, or you want to use your phone, that's fine. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Y'all there? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "As are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have not come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now I'm going to continue to Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You should go all around the city once. Thus you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Now, if you have your Bibles or if you have your phone and you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. I'm going to repeat that. By faith. The walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. See, God gave Joshua instructions. He had to give those instructions to the people. They had to be obedient, to trust that their leader heard from God. Because of their faith to follow the instructions, exactly the way God said, the walls came down, just like he said. But notice how the walls fell down. We often say a shout. And they did walk around and they did shout. And the walls fell down. But the Bible said it was by faith. In Hebrews 11:30, it said, by faith. Their faith to believe that what they did, what God ordained them to do in obedience, by following God's instruction, that the walls would come down. It was their faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want to talk to you this morning on these walls must come down. This faith to believe and act was what made the walls come down. Their faith and the belief they had and the act to do what God said that they should do. Yes. Moses, Joshua's leader, had died. And he assumed the leadership role to carry God's people into the promised land. The Bible said they wandered for 40 years into the wilderness. Can you imagine that? 40 years. Wow. Sometimes we feel like in the wilderness for 3 hours. But they were there for 40 years in the wilderness. But now God used Joshua to take them over the Jordan. And Scripture said, now they are facing Jericho. You know, what I want you to see is God's heart and desire for his people, that there's a promised land that awaits you too. Amen? Amen. There's a promised land that awaits all of us. Did you know that you probably do, but Jericho itself was only on 7 acres. And most of the people lived outside. But we're going to talk about that this morning, that they were so afraid that they all went inside of Jericho. There's a place that was flowing with milk and honey. In other words, there's more that God has for your life, too. He doesn't want us to be content. Some of us sometimes really get content. I know I'm content when I'm sitting on our deck and not having to worry about anything. But there are worries, aren't there? There are concerns. And the Bible says we shouldn't be worried and we should be concerned. We have to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. He doesn't want us to be settled where we are. even if you're in a good place, and most of us probably are in a good place, how many of you know that God knows how to take you to a better place? Amen. If we're in a good place, shouldn't we all desire to grow and be in a better place?
Yes.
God told Joshua, I need you to lead my people because they need to understand that I have more for them. Isn't that so true about today? God has so much more for them. God says, you guys haven't seen my best days yet.
Yes.
He has good days ahead of us. Yes. My greatest blessings are ahead of all of us. We have seen God provide. We have things that have astonished us. I mean, when we see God move, I mean, somebody just said today that they got healed last night at the tabernacle. Well, those are great things. We see God move. But may I remind you of our God is still the Ephesians 3:20 God.
Yes.
And Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. He can do all things. All things.
Yes.
Not just what our finite minds think.
Right.
He can do so much more. Yes, he can. I believe God is saying to Joshua, regardless of what I've done up to this point, I need you to lead them and guide them and help them to understand that I have a land that is greater than the land they are currently in right now. You know, Pastor Ron is preaching on the end times, and we heard about the for the last couple of weeks, you know, about the end times and the judgment seat of Christ. And you know, God has a purpose for our lives. But before our lives are finished, he has a greater purpose for each and every one of us. He has something for us to do. And it's not just sitting. It's not just sitting. It's not just praying and waiting on him. God wants us to get into action. God wants us to move. He wants us to be a mover and a shaker. Amen? So this land that God had for them, it was a good land, but he wanted more for them. He promised, his promises to them were for more. In Deuteronomy 8, it is described as the promised land, the land of Canaan. So if your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, when we're going to begin reading us at verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land in whose stones are iron and out of whose hills can dig copper. Can you even imagine? And you know what? If we were all really honest, we'd say we are really blessed, aren't we? We are really blessed, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we see in our country, regardless of what we see in our cities, regardless of what we hear on the news. We are blessed people.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know about you, but God said, I have a place for you that you don't have to scrape by and just get by. You know, there was a time in life that maybe you just did scrape by. Maybe it was before you trusted the Lord. But there's no point in scrape by and to just get by. There's a place in me, God says, a land that I have for you that is better than where you are. Is there anybody here that God knows that God has more for you than you presently have?
Yes.
He has more for your family, your children, your grandchildren, your career, your business, your calling. I serve a God that the Bible says wants to take us from glory to glory. What does that mean? That means I'm going higher and higher and higher. We're going from glory to glory and faith to faith. The Bible says he wants to take us higher and he wants to give us fuller things. He wants to increase our profits. He wants to increase our monies. He wants to increase those things that we have. He wants to continue to take us further and higher than we have ever gone before. I believe that. Do you?
Yes.
Does anybody believe God?
Amen. All the time.
We all do. But what about out there? What about out there? Shouldn't we be a living testimony? Yes. You know, if we're poor and we're walking around with sad faces all the time, who would want that? Who would want to come up to us and say, what is it that you have? I want it. I need it. I'm going through something right now. Does anybody in here believe the same God in my Bible this morning?
Yes.
Amen? Amen? What's amazing about this is that the people in Joshua 6:1 were facing Jericho. And the Bible said Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Securely shut up. What does that mean? If you study the text, the whole place was in a panic because of the prophetic promise that the Lord had given his people. A whole city. Think of it. A whole city had locked themselves. Think of Allentown. The whole city had locked themselves down because they couldn't figure they couldn't stay there too much longer because there was a people they heard about. God's people. Don't you want people to hear about you?
Yes.
God's people. Those people. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. God had parted the Red Sea for them. God had moved mountains for them. God had provided for them in supernatural ways. These people, God had made himself a cloud by day and a fire by night. Think of it. He doesn't change. These people, God swallowed up all of their enemies that tried to take them back into bondage. You know, have you ever been in any kind of bondage and you ask for forgiveness and then the devil comes along and he tries to take you back there? Sometimes it's easy to slip back, isn't it? But you know what? Gotta stand strong. See, the whole city was scared to death because of God's people. Hey, I'm God's people. Are you? God can do the same for us. The enemy is so scared of the prophetic purpose in our life. See, vipers don't strike until they're scared. Could it be the enemy is so scared of you, and that's why he's been fighting you so hard? That's why he's been opposing you? Let me tell you. I told some of you this morning that yesterday. Now, this has not happened to me. So it might have happened in Mexico when I was on my feet a long period of time and it was hot. But yesterday, my foot swelled, my ankle swelled, my leg swelled, my left leg and ankle. And I thought, what is this? What is this? Well, last night we propped it up and put ice on it, and it's better today. But I'm here preaching today. The devil tried to stop me yesterday because I could feel it. I could feel that there was something happening to my leg. And Roger said to me this morning, are you all right? Are you going to be able to stand? Are you going to be able to do this? And I went into he was in the bathroom, and I went in and I said, I can't preach today. I can't today because I felt it. And then I thought, no. It's the devil. It's the devil. Vipers don't strike until they're scared. I guess the viper must have been pretty scared yesterday of my preaching today. Could it be the enemy is so scared of you, that is why he's been fighting you? Did you ever think about it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is why he's been opposing you. He's been opposing you. That's why he's been lying to you. To keep you back. He's holding you back because he understands if you ever get a revelation of who you really are in Christ and what God has called you to, if you ever get that revelation, the devil's in trouble. In fact, the land the enemy is on right now, he's trespassing. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God's people. We can and should serve an eviction notice on hell. Shouldn't we?
Yep.
Get off my property.
Amen.
Get off my property.
Yes.
Our families don't belong to him. Our country doesn't belong to him.
Amen.
Our cities don't belong to him. Our money doesn't belong to him.
That's right.
Our health doesn't belong to him. Our home doesn't belong to him. Our friends don't belong to him.
No.
He's trespassing on God's property.
Yes.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the Lord. And it's about time we all have the courage to stand up and say, out in the name of Jesus. Out.
Yes.
You have no authority. You have no authority over me. He has no authority over any of you. I believe that every place and everything God gives Word of Life Church, that hell would be in such an uproar and panic saying, here comes God's people.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Oh, man, you need to smile because I'm smiling because, man, I am God's people.
Amen.
And so are you. You have to understand that where God was taking them, there was a Jericho before them, a walled city, huge, thick walls. To the natural man, it couldn't be penetrated. It couldn't be climbed over. And some say even the walls, they were so wide you could ride chariots around them. And as we go through life, we have obstacles that we will all face. Obstacles that stand between us and where God is calling us. I'll bet if I went around the room today, every one of you could give me an example of an obstacle that stood between you and where God was calling you. But I want to tell you, obstacles are just disguised opportunities. Say that with me. Disguised opportunities. See, advancement is a progression and is often consumed in adversity and opposition. In our weaknesses, remember, God's strength is made perfect. And oftentimes, when there is an opposition, there's an opportunity. If you're facing an opposition, you know there's got to be a great opportunity for God to do something good in your life and for your country. And for your country. And while I'm at the subject of country, not in my notes, but it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. When I started voting, I knew who won that night. We didn't have to wait for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's much opposition. The enemy will put Jerichos before us, seemingly impossible barriers and hindrances and walls that say you will never get there. You will never be able to do it or achieve it or accomplish it. The barriers are walls that stand between us and our dreams. There are walls that stand between us and God's perfect will for our lives. God has a perfect will for all of our lives, but there's these walls and these barriers that keep coming, the Jerichos that stand between us and the promises of God, obstacles standing before us that say, you've been this way all your life, and you're going to stay there. But I defy the lies of the enemy this morning. But the scriptures teach us not to care how big those walls all are. They can come tumbling down, and they can come tumbling down fast, and they will come tumbling down. They will fall flat in the name of Jesus. See, Jericho was a beautiful, plush city, but underneath the waters were very bitter. They were bad. It looked good on the outside, but underneath it was bad. It was bitter. It was in 2 Samuel that David had to leave some of his mighty men in Jericho because they had been shamed. Half their beards were cut off, and the backside of their breeches were cut out because what the enemy had done to them. So he had to leave them there in Jericho. And it was around Jericho where that the man was robbed and put in the ditch. He was knocked down. He was robbed and left for dead. It was in Jericho that Jesus visited quite frequently, and that's where Bartimaeus met Jesus and was healed. That's a wonderful story. I love that story. See the walls in our lives that want us to be content. Want us to be content and pretend everything is okay. You know, I know sometimes we do get content. We get content in our lives. We get content in our circumstances. And we pretend everything is okay. Whenever I did a women's meeting, I would always have them first stand up, and I would tell them to put their hand at the side of their face, and I would tell them to take off the mask. And once the mask was off, I would tell them to throw it. Because this is real. This is real life. We need to take off the mask, stop saying everything is pretending that everything's okay and all right, but yet underneath there's brokenness. Underneath there's barrenness, bondage, hurt, turmoil, and fear. It's the wall that wants to rob you of your vision that you cannot see properly. It robs you from you. It steals from you. It keeps you bound, never allowing you to get where God has for you in your life. Maybe you say this morning, well, I don't know. Maybe I should have stayed in bed. I don't think this word is for me today. You may think there's nothing wrong in your life, but you can have more degrees than a thermometer. You can have all the money in the world, but reality is all of us have some walls in our life. All of us have some things that need to be torn down so that we can move forward. Walls, mentalities, mindsets, walls of little thinking, walls of discouragement, walls that are results of wounds, walls of resentment, walls of discouragement and frustration, walls that are in your family. How about the walls that you pray for your loved ones to get saved, and it seems like a great big brick wall, and it's never going to come down, but it will come down. Trust me. Trust God. Just continue on with your prayers, with your belief. Amen? All of us at one time have had some type of a wall. Yes, we might have them, but they don't have to have us. And they surely don't have to stay there. I declare this morning that walls are going to fall down this morning. They're coming down. You just wait. They're coming down. There's much more to my message, and those walls are going to fall. Because you know why? Because God has too much for you to accomplish. Just stay where you are. When God brought them out of Egypt, he just didn't want them to stay where they were. He wanted to take them to a better place. He brought them out so he could bring them in. And when God brings you out, he doesn't bring you out to bring you into something lesser. He brings you out to take you into greater things. If he brought you out of bondage, he's taking you into freedom. If he brought you out of sickness, he's taking you into healing. He has great things for your life. How many times do we say that? He just didn't bring you out and wanted you saved and settled. You have a purpose to fulfill. You have a call to carry out. You have a mission to accomplish. You have a dream to obtain. And you have a destiny to fulfill. He doesn't save you just to be saved. You've been called to do more than that. You've been called to make a mark on this earth before Jesus called you home. Don't you want to make a mark on this earth before Jesus called you home? So how do you do it? Hebrews 11 says, by faith. The question is, do you believe the walls can come down?
Yes.
What about in our country right now?
Yes.
Seems impossible. I don't think so. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. We don't know all that God is doing to bring his people out and give us freedom.
That's it.
We lived in freedom. God has given us freedom. He has given our forefathers everything that they needed, even to make the Constitution. So God has given us that freedom. God's not taking it back. The enemy's taking it back. Do you believe that God has greater things for your life?
Yes.
Sometimes we can be in seasons going in circles so long that we begin to take on a mindset of our circumstances. Some of us do have certain circumstances in our life, but then we can't take on that mindset of those circumstances, and we begin to settle and believe that this is what life is. In some people, their circumstances become their identity. You are not what you have been through. You are not what you have been through. You are not what you are in, and you are what God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Your identity doesn't come from your failures. I've failed lots of times. What happened in your past, or what happened in your past? It's not your failures or what happened in your past. Your identity comes from your Heavenly Father. I don't care how many times you have failed. I don't care how flawed you think you are. You are what God says you are. You are who what God says you are. When you believe that, walls will come down. Do you believe the dream in your heart can come to pass?
Yes.
Do you believe those things you care about can be saved?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe relationships can be restored?
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe God has something greater for your life?
Yes.
Do you believe that mistakes do not make you?
Yes.
Do you believe there is more that God wants to do with your life?
Yes.
Amen.
You are not a victim.
No.
As long as Jesus hung on that cross,
that's right.
You can come out and you can come over.
Amen.
And you can come through.
Yes.
I'm trying to get someone in here to believe you are not hopeless, helpless, or alone.
That's right. Amen.
If you still have a heartbeat, there's hope for you.
Amen.
You serve a God who can lift you up.
Yes.
Raise you up.
Yes.
Your God can save you.
Yes.
He can deliver you.
Yes.
He can prosper you.
Amen.
He can heal you. He can restore you.
Yes.
He can redeem you.
Yes. Yes.
And he can reconcile you back to him.
Yes.
Come on. We serve a good God.
Amen.
Amen.
I defy the lies of the enemy that has told us we are washed up and defeated.
That's right.
How many times in the last 2 years has the enemy told you, this is it? You are washed up, you are defeated. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We have to have a revival. We have to have the big revival that the Bible talked about.
Amen.
And it's coming in Jesus' name. So the blood of Jesus covers us and washes us. And I have 4 words this morning. The first word is faith. There is a separation of faith. In Joshua 5, the Bible said that when Joshua was at Jericho, he got alone by himself. He separated himself from the people. He was by himself for a moment. And sometimes if you want to see the walls come down, it's going to require a separation. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from the people.
Yes.
You can't stay in the same crowd.
That's right.
Maybe your walls haven't come down because of the crowd you surround yourself with. In the circles you associate with. You ask yourself this question. Does my circle add to me or subtract me? Do they divide me or do they multiply me? Either they are lifting you up or bringing you down. Are they causing you to grow? Look around and see who's with you. Sometimes there are people you have to walk away from. When we hold on to things, we can't grab hold of what God has for us. It's not always sinful or bad people. Sometimes it's good people. Sometimes it's really good people. I'm going to turn in my Bible to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Yes.
They were good people. They weren't bad people. But the Lord had to separate them. Sometimes God separates us to take us from something smaller to something bigger. Sometimes God sends you off because he has a destiny for you. Authorization is the commander of our faith. In Joshua 13, I read that, chapter 13, 14, when Joshua said you are the commander of the host of the Lord, do you think Joshua thought, oh, I thought I was in charge. But I thought I was leading. But the commander of the Lord came and told Joshua and gave instructions. So he had to obey that greater authority. Do you think he was thinking, I've been doing what I thought was right to this point, but now I need to submit to a greater authority? Sometimes we have to submit to a greater authority because God wants to take us higher. How often do we try to get God to authorize what he has not authorized? This is a good one. to get God to bless what he has not asked us to do.
That's right.
Example. I'll give you an example. We go to a restaurant, and we order our food. And we eat our food, and the waitress comes back, and she gives us our check. And when we get the receipt, our check, we look at it, and we think, there's a lot of things on here I didn't order. I'm not paying for this. So we, ma'am, can you come here? So we call the waitress over, and we say, well, look at here's this, and this. I didn't get that. I didn't eat that, and I'm not paying for it. I didn't order it. You're not responsible for them, are you? Could it be we are praying to God that we want him to pay for things that he didn't authorize, that he didn't order for us to do? Things he never told us to do?
Yes.
The Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So remember that. Well, we get these ideas, and a lot of times they are ideas. The Holy Spirit leads us, and the Holy Spirit guides us. But a lot of times, sometimes we'll do things, and God never authorized us to do it that way. Or he tells us how to do it, and instead of us listening and obeying, we think, well, I think I have a better way to do it. So we try it the better way. Okay? But the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The second word this morning is cooperation. Cooperation of our faith. The Bible said, when Joshua began in Joshua 6:1, God gave him real, real unique instructions. He said, I want you to do it this way. But it was not a military strategy. Think about this. It was not a military strategy. It wasn't the way that he was familiar with operating. God didn't give him weapons. He gave him instructions. A lot of times in our life, we might look for God to give us that the weapon part. But God says, no, I told you what to do. All you need to do is do it. If we do it our way, we might get the glory. But God gave him the instructions, so he himself would get the glory. Here's the thing about cooperating with God, about obeying God, when it doesn't make any sense. How many times have God ever said to you to do something and it didn't make any sense? A lot of times in our life. But if you go ahead and do it, you understand that that's the way God wanted, and he'll bless it. Didn't make sense to a military mind to march around stone walls and shout after the seventh time. In military, it would have said, shoot, let's kill, let's throw down. But God said, walk. If you want walls to come down, there has to be a time that you're willing to obey when it doesn't make sense. Too many times we want to understand before we obey. But God is looking for a people who will obey and trust, not try to understand and then obey. You got that? God's looking for us who will obey and trust him, not try to understand what he's trying to tell us and then obey. Many times we get caught up with what we think we're going to lose by obeying God, that we don't see all the things that we are going to gain. Because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, if I obey, do I have to give up this and give up this and give up this and this? I promise you that whatever you let go for God, he will give you something much greater.
Yes.
Trust me, whatever you give up for God, it'll be so much bigger, so much more fulfilling. Everything we give up for God, he will repay us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Cooperation is next. Your next words is cooperation and continuation. They had to cooperate. They had to cooperate with what they heard from God, and they had to continue with God's plan. Continuation. There was something unique about them marching. They continued continually. Can you imagine walking around those walls? Just walking around those things in your life that you thought would never come to pass, that you'd never have. Just keep walking. Just keep believing. Just keep trusting God. They had to cooperate and continue. There was something unique about them marching. They continued continually. Can you imagine walking and walking and nothing happening and nothing happening and nothing happening? Walking around, walking around, walking around. You know, God could have tore those walls down the first day. God could have taken them down the first day. The circling had nothing to do with it. God had everything to do with it. God had everything to do with those walls coming down. Walking around and around and around. That's us at times. We go around and around and around. And we have these issues. And we have issues from the past. And we go around and around and around. The past is over. It's gone. Walking around and around and around the past is the most silliest thing I ever heard of. Because it's the past. It's gone. Can't get it back. Can't redo it. You made a mistake. It's over. You can't redo it. But we go around and around and around. See, everything still looked the same. Everything felt the same. But often, God will see how we respond when our life is going in circles. When we pray over and over and nothing changes. Giving into his kingdom and nothing changes. Keep walking. When your life is going in circles and it seems like nothing is changing, look to 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm going to read that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, everything in their life as they were walking around and around and around, it felt the same, looked the same. But God was looking to see how we respond when life is going in circles. When we pray over and over and nothing changes. Giving into his kingdom. Paying our tithes. Nothing changes. Keep walking. When your life is going in circles and it seems like nothing is changing, you have to look to 1 Corinthians 15:58. The potter's wheel is only as powerful as the clay that's spinning in circles. If the vessel is at a standstill, the potter can't fulfill his wheel. But as long as it's spinning in circles, the hands of the potter can mold it and shape it and form it and work out the cracks and the insecurities and the inadequacies. The discouragements and frustrations. Remember, God doesn't see you where you are. He sees you in your future, where he wants you to be. Yes, he says, I know you think nothing is happening. I know we think that way. Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. But there's more happening in you than for you. God's processes are different. He is more concerned about the process of your character than he is by giving you a promise. He says, I want you inside prepared to carry what I have for you on the outside. The fourth word is continuation. Can you imagine the people of Jericho looking at these foolish people? You know, Christians do some of the foolish things to the world around them, don't they? We do some of the craziest things to those people outside of God's kingdom. But God wants us to continue in his things without breaking our concentration. What do you do if you see, well, what you see is not looking like what God said? God told Joshua he was going to give him Jericho. He had to do what God commanded. Even when we don't see it, God is working. Our country, our state, our people's lives, the last 2 years. It seems like we are going nowhere. Isn't that true? It seems like we're going nowhere. When is this all going to end? Isn't there somebody out there? Isn't there somebody who can end this? Isn't there somebody who can break this hell on earth that people are living in? Yesterday, on our way home from work, out in Trextertown, there's one place, gas was $4.99 a gallon. And you know, coming up Memorial Day, I'll bet it's going to go even higher. It's going to go even higher. So, isn't there somebody out there that can do something? You would think. I mean, if enough of us get a fishing rod with a wire on it and a big hook, maybe we can get them out. Just reel them up. So even when we don't see it, God is working. We have to praise him for that. Our God, our state, people's lives. After the last 2 years, it was tough. It was really tough. But I'll tell you one thing. This lady's not putting on any mask. This lady's not falling for any more pandemics. I'm not, in the name of Jesus. I'm free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yes. We have prayed. We have asked God to heal our land. And are we still going in circles? I don't have to see it, God, but you are working. You are working, and I want you to continue to work. I believe God is saying to us this morning, hold on. You have seen me working through many people. Trust me. Trust my word. You have seen me work through many people in this word, many situations. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just trust in the one who can move the mountain. Amen? Amen. So, if you're here this morning, we're going to do something that I've never done before. I haven't, and I thought about this. The Holy Spirit gave it to me, but I want to tell you one thing. At 3 o'clock this morning, the Holy Spirit got me awake, and he said, you know, that message, this message is for you too, for me, because of the wall of fear from the mission field from way back in India. And the Holy Spirit said, this message is for you. 3 o'clock this morning, I went to the family room. Roger was sitting there, and I said, Roger, are you awake? He said, yes. I said, the Holy Spirit told me, this message that I prepared is for me. So I tell you that I have lived with that wall in my life. It's not there now. Until maybe, I shouldn't say that, because maybe if I'm confronted with something that has to do with the past fear that I picked up from India and took it over to other countries with me. I told you when we started, I slept with a hammer in my suitcase in Honduras, and then I didn't even get a hot shower for 2 weeks, and it was cold water. Tell them, it was cold, just like Haiti. But the thing of it is that was a wall. That was a wall. And here I prepared this whole message and didn't realize that was a wall that I had, and the Holy Spirit showed me at 3 o'clock this morning. So this morning,
we can't do
You can't.
So we got a different plan.
All right.
We're going to be playing off of a cell phone.
Okay.
Hopefully this
one. All right. So, look, if you're out there, I'm sorry about that, but we can't do that this morning. But we are going to try a different way.
Hello?
And it's going to work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, I want you to be serious. And I want to ask you, what walls are holding you back? I believe God is going to move this morning. And I believe we can do something by faith. Faith in here is not only going to change everyone in here, but it's going to change people out there. Walls can come down in the unseen before they come down in the seen. But it will take faith. Who has some walls that need to come down? Confess whatever that wall is. God is stronger, mightier than your wall. This morning I declare these walls are coming down. The wall of doubt. The wall of unbelief. The wall of anxiety. The wall of fear. Doubt, unbelief, anxiety, and fear. Go in the name of Jesus. The wall of hurt. The wall of bitterness. Hurt and bitterness. You're a big wall. And you must go. You must come down now. In Jesus' mighty name. The wall of resentment. The wall of jealousy, the wall of depression, the wall of finances. You've got to come down in Jesus' mighty name. Resentment, jealousy, depression, and finances, go in the name of Jesus. The wall of health, strife, lack, go in the name of Jesus. You're here, Lord. You're here in this place. You hear our hearts. You hear our words. You hear our thoughts. The wall of shame. The wall of poverty. Go in Jesus' name. The wall of insecurities. Pandemics. Go in Jesus' name. Abortions. Deception. Lies. You all have to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. Father, pandemics, abortions, deception, and lies, go in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of witchcraft over our nation. Go in Jesus' name. The spirit of Almighty God, take over our nation. Emotional healing. Go in the name of Jesus. Bodies. Line up today with the word of God. I speak to everyone in this place. Line up with the word of God. Strongholds, chains, addictions, habits, disease. Go in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, complaining, addictions, double-mindedness, disobedience. Go in the name of Jesus. Loneliness, gossip, insecurities, anger, strife. Go in the name of Jesus. Selfishness. Go in the name of Jesus. Having your own way. Unforgiveness. Go in the name of Jesus. Stagnating. Lack of confidence. Unworthiness, hard-heartedness, go in the name of Jesus. Come on, people, call on God's name this morning. Call on God's name this morning. Call on God's name. Call on God's name. He's a miracle worker, a promise keeper. Hallelujah. He's working even when we don't see it. Even when he don't see it, he's the promise keeper. He's the way maker. Freedom. Freedom. Holy Spirit, create a river in this desert, in our land of deception. Liberty, we claim it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We claim all your promises because you are the promise keeper. You are the miracle worker. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Moving in love. Stand and sing with me. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. We worship you, Father. We worship you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, with our hands raised up. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We speak revival to our land. We speak healing and health to our land. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, Father God, that we are a strong people of God, willing to obey, willing to conquer. We are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Father, just as those walls in Jericho came down, we shout this morning. We shout and we say, walls are gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We praise your name, O God. We praise your name, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you that there's not a one person in this place that's going to leave here the way they came. That wall that they didn't even know they had. It was revealed to them this morning, Father. And God, we know that you are a miracle worker, a promise keeper. And those walls have to be down right now because we declared it in the name of Jesus. We can't leave this place and say, oh, well, maybe it happened. No, that's not the way it is. That's not faith. It's not maybe it happened. It happened in Jesus' name. It happened in Jesus' name. Walls are down. Don't pick them up again. You never pick up a wall when it fell down. Maybe you want to try, but just don't even think of it. Father, by the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray over all their minds and all their thoughts and all their actions that they would be obedient to you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And if you need prayer after that, I don't think you do, but if you do, right? Hey, listen, but I'm telling you, you've got to walk by faith. You don't always see it. And when God gives you instructions, it isn't the way you think you should do it. It isn't the way you think you should do it. It's the way God says it has to be done. Because God knows all things, and he knows how to work everything out for our good. So I bless you today. I pray that you receive from this message today. I was in awe at 3 o'clock when God said, this is your message, and you receive it. So I received it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.